Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, the last time we were together on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 to 35 under the title, Count the Cost. In this text, Jesus is counseling his hearers to count the cost of following him. In his counsel, he mentions several areas of life that impact our choice to follow him. The first area Jesus touched on is your relationships. Jesus clearly stated that those who follow him must be willing to put him first, even before family members. And then he gave the ultimate test of following him. We must love him, Jesus, more than our own lives. As we continue our study, we'll look at another area of assessment, our resources. Are your resources and mine adequate for the task Jesus has given us? Well, stay tuned to learn more. Right now, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 to 35. Now, great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As you assess the relationship between yourself and Jesus, are you truly one of his followers? Have you truly died to yourself? Do your choices primarily benefit you or others? Have you given Jesus the freedom by his Spirit to live his life through you? Do you realize that the path of suffering is what Jesus often uses to assess our level of discipleship? These are sobering, difficult questions for me to ask myself as I assess my relationships with respect to discipleship. I can glibly say, "Sure, I'm a follower of Jesus," but that's from my perspective. What would others say? And most importantly, what would Jesus say if someone asked him whether or not I'm one of his followers? What I say and what he knows may be two different things. But as God's Spirit searches my heart and knows my motives, I believe he will find it's my desire to be one of his followers, whatever the cost. And I hope that's your desire, too. The second area of assessment, then, is your resources. One of the beauties of Jesus' teaching is its simplicity. He used common illustrations that his hearers could easily understand. He imbued the common events of life with spiritual meaning. So, a tower was something people were familiar with. They built them in their vineyards, on the city walls, for a place of refuge, or just an ornamental part of a fancy building, so they could readily identify with the scenario that Jesus proposed. I've seen, and maybe you've seen it too, a building that's been started and partially built, but years later, it's still sitting there in that unfinished state. It becomes a monument to someone's lack of preparation. Now, in our culture, the person may be mocked or ridiculed for their failure, but you know, eventually people forget about it and we move on. However, the culture of Jesus' day was based on the competing ideas of honor and shame. So this unfinished building would be a continual reminder of the shame of failing to plan wisely. And that shame wasn't just personal. It affected the entire group or family or village. Jesus used this example to show the crowd it was very important that they assess their resources and count the cost before deciding to follow him. In the current practice of Christianity, there is too little emphasis on this subject of counting the cost. People are told, just come to Jesus as you are and he will save you. Your sins will be forgiven and you will escape eternal punishment. Well, that's certainly true, but it's not the whole truth. Salvation is given to us as a free gift when we acknowledge that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can restore us to righteousness in the sight of God. When we acknowledge that reality and accept God's forgiveness, we become one of his followers. We become a disciple. But then many converts, when they begin reading the scripture and see what's required of disciples, they say, hey, nobody told me following Jesus was going to be this costly. I don't want to do this. I just wanted to escape hell. I didn't want to give control of my life to someone else. Jesus was warning those in the crowds who were following him to take time to think through the implications of being one of his disciples. When Jesus gave his final instructions to the 12, he didn't tell them to make converts. He commanded them to make disciples. Part of the process of discipleship was baptism and the teaching of all things that Jesus had commanded. This process of discipleship is the imperative in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. To be converted means to change direction, to adopt another course of action. It's not accepting Jesus as Savior and going on your own merry way through life. Salvation is surrender. Becoming like little children speaks of trust and imitation. Children are imitators, they're followers, and so are disciples. So once again, the idea of a person accepting Jesus as Savior, yet not being a disciple, is an idea for which I find no basis in Scripture. Jesus said that one who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not well suited for the kingdom of heaven. My friend, an unfinished life is a much more tragic spectacle than a cement foundation without a building. So then, whose resources are being assessed in this area of counting the cost? Let me assure you, being a disciple can only be accomplished with God's resources. But you and I must be committed to appropriating and using those resources. You see, the plans for the church that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit worked out in the eternal councils of heaven are much like the plans for a tower. They calculated the full cost of what it would take to build a structure so strong that the gates of hell could not destroy it. Jesus knew full well what the cost of birthing the church would be. It would cost him everything. Not only would he need to stoop down and bear the image of the created, he would die a death reserved for the lowest criminals. So he voluntarily waived his divine rights, and he became obedient unto death, death on a Roman cross. It was at that point of death that he cried out to his Father, "It is finished." The tower was complete. The resources were sufficient. And Jesus calls you and me to understand and embrace that same way. There is no cheap or easy path to discipleship. My friend, are you trying to be a follower of Jesus on your own resources? That will never work. You'll get discouraged and you'll give up. The language of discipleship Jesus uses throughout the Gospels reminds us that the path is rugged, even with all of heaven's resources at our disposal. The only way you're going to make it is to tap into those resources and commit yourself to finishing the course. Without that, Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciple." It's time to count the cost by assessing the resources you have in Christ and then using them to the fullest extent. That brings us to the final area of assessment in counting the cost. It is assess your strength. This section seems to be almost a separate parable, but is closely linked to the previous one. Here, the story involves a king going to war against an aggressor. He takes counsel with himself and with his advisors to see if the task is possible with the strength of his forces. A famous military strategist once said, "First weigh, then venture." And look at the odds here, 2-1. This isn't an easy decision to make. A leader must have a good grasp of the strength and mettle of his men to determine the outcome with this disadvantage. Otherwise, he will quickly send his ambassador to begin negotiating for peace. And then consider the 12, the most unlikely group of men who, in the words of their enemies, turned the world upside down. When they were filled with the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, they pressed forward against seemingly impossible odds. Think for a moment of Peter, the one who denied his master. When he embraced God's strength through the Holy Spirit, rather than relying on his own strength, he became a powerful spokesman for God. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Count the Cost. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Count the Cost. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Count the Cost. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Count the Cost. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.